What's going on, y'all? 97.5 The Fanatic, 5:59 on a Monday, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. I'm Devon Gibbons, along with Tyler Zuli. We are with you until 10 o'clock. Hope you had a great weekend. Good to be back here with you. And we have a lot to talk about, from Brett Brown speaking about Ben Simmons, a new name change in the NFL that we've been waiting for. You know, I just called them Washington Football Team anyway. So this is going to be good for me. Maybe some Eagles things later on that we can get into. We continue bubble watch as long as they are inside the bubble in Orlando at Walt Disney World of Sports. We will have bubble watch, and they are going to continue to give us content, and we will certainly check out the Twitter account that gives us some things as well inside the bubble, or whatever it's called. We'll check it out. It keeps popping up on the timeline, so we'll have some things there. And, of course, an update. You heard Nat saying it on in the updates. How many players have tested positive within the bubble since they've been there? July 7th, 7th, 8th, and 9th were the travel dates for the 22 teams. Of course, they split them all up, some being there 7th, 8th, and 9th. The Sixers were traveled on Thursday. So, of course, only two positive tests. Two players have returned positive tests while in quarantine, and those players have left to isolate. That is a good number as of right now. Being in there for 6 days, that's pretty good thus far. So we'll see how all of that goes. You've all heard about Rashawn Holmes and even Bruno. Nobody's bringing up Bruno Caboclo from the Houston Rockets, also crossing the line. So we'll get into all of that. But of course, we have to start off with the big news so far. Brett Brown, after practice, speaking with the assembled media, letting everyone know exactly what's been going on so far in practice. Joel Embiid as well. And that is what we have talked about since the season was put on halt on March 11th after the Detroit win was, what do you do with the starting five? Is it Al Horford or is it Shake Milton? And it's been a bit of a weird conversation because Shake Milton is a second-round draft pick, second year in the league, a player who had a nice stretch, certainly the second half of the season, highlighted by the L.A. Clipper game on that Sunday afternoon as part of their late West Coast trip out there in L.A. where they played the Clippers, the Lakers, and a couple of other squads as well. Don't remember at this moment, Golden State being one of them, because I know they lost that one as well. But the whole point of it is we were trying to figure it out. And you look at it and you say, it's just, in the conversation, it's just Shake Milton, with all due respect, right? It's just Shake Milton. I have liked Shake. Tyrone is like Shake. Some others have liked Shake. Some have not. And the question again is, why are we talking about it's just Shake Milton? Well, because it's a real thing. Brett Brown gave it to us. We've seen others start in that spot, whether it be Furkan Korkmaz, Matisse Thybulle, Shake Milton, Glenn Robinson III, and the one who has really stood out offensively with what they needed in the absence of Ben Simmons, certainly putting Al Horford on the bench. Shake Milton is the one who has stood up and really taken the reins as at that time. What we wondered was, during this break in action, would it still present itself as such when they return to the floor? And based on what Brett Brown had to say, Joel Embiid had to say today, just being back on the floor on Saturday for their first practice, Sunday, and now Monday, 3 days of practice. And thus far, the little bit of stuff that they did here in Philadelphia, Shake Milton has been with the starting five. When we did the show, I made sure that I made it clear, as we ask a question, we certainly give our opinion on what we feel like the team should do going forward. And we didn't know that things would last this long, of course, with COVID-19. But since it did, well, you know, we thought it would be a little bit sooner when things would return to play. And with the question, my answer was, I wanted and I thought that Shake Milton deserved to continue to start in the starting five with the group once Ben Simmons returned to play. My only question was, when it got to postseason play, after, of course, his outburst of 39 points against the Clippers, 25-point performance here, another double-digit performance there, he's on a scouting report, and when you get to the playoffs, it's different. Playoff basketball is different. Now, we thought it would be the same, meaning what we've always known about playoff basketball, not a bubble playoff atmosphere where no one is going to be there, no fans, and all of that. The intensity by the players will still be there, but the atmosphere is a little bit different, so maybe that does change things. That was one of my questions of what is Shake Milton going to be? The other being, we have not really seen Shake Milton with Ben Simmons. Now, before the All-Star break, remember Furkan Korkmaz started in place of Al Horford when they went to the new starting lineup before the All-Star break. They got the win against the Clippers. Al Horford played pretty well off the bench. Come back from the All-Star break. Looks like, hey, we're going to do this again. Then Ben Simmons goes down with the back injury. So with that, what does Shake Milton and Ben Simmons look like together? And that is a real question. That is something that we have not seen enough of. Did we see it last season a little bit when Shake was healed up from his injury where he broke his hand and he had the other little injury as well with the Delaware Blue Coats and what he did coming back up here, playing decently for the squad in the little bit of time, but not being able to give them anything in the playoffs? Yeah, we saw minor things. Did we go into the offseason when they gave him the two-year contract, getting him off the two-way contract, wondering if he was going to be the primary backup for the team once they gave him that new deal and it looked like, okay, they didn't pick up another point guard in the offseason outside of anyone that you were afraid of with Trey Burke and, of course, Raul Neto? Is Shake Milton going to be the backup point guard? Summer League, everyone was excited. He got hurt again. What's going to happen? Well, now, again, Brett Brown is saying that it looks like Shake Milton, so far, through 3 days, they don't take the floor until the scrimmage, exhibition, preseason game, whatever you want to call it, until about two more weeks when they are out there for their scrimmage. Things could change by then, but as of right now, their best player in Joel Embiid, and of course the head coach is saying that Shake Milton has had the rock so far with Ben Simmons playing the four spot. Now, this is something a lot of people, as Mike talked about, something a lot of people have been calling for. I have championed the point guard move. I have also called him a basketball player because I think he is versatile enough to use him in a variety of different ways, still be effective without the ball in his hands, even without a jump shot. So that is, of course, something that we are going to get into tonight with this move as of right now. Looking like Shake Milton and Ben Simmons will be in the starting lineup together. How do you use Ben Simmons as a power forward for the Philadelphia 76ers? That is the question. Now, before we start to dive into that, for those who did not hear what Brett Brown had to say with his media availability today, the question here comes from Keith Pompey of the Philadelphia Inquirer. He goes on a little lengthy, like Brett Brown likes to do, giving you a detailed explanation, sometimes of something, sometimes of, But overall, he said a few things in it. So let's start off with what Brett Brown had to say during his media availability inside the bubble.
The last few days, I played him, you know, exclusively as a four-man.
Mm-hmm.
And he's so dynamic, to your point. Like, let's just talk about running. There's nobody faster in the NBA. And so to always have Ben have to have the ball and dribble it up, you know, against five guys after made baskets especially, to do that, I think, dilutes some of his potent weapon, speed. And so watching him fly up the floor, watching Joel and him play off each other has been a really good look. I think that they've been fantastic together.
Okay. Well, playing off of each other has been a good look watching them play off of each other. We've seen some of that, of course, with him having the ball in his hands, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid coming up to be the screen man, a decision having to be made now of what to do. Of course they've had success. They're very talented basketball players in this league. They are problems for the opposition when both of them are going downhill, and that is a certainty. But with Brett Brown saying that, once again, how has it been fun to see them play with one another as that 1-2 tandem within the flow of their offense? How? Are we talking the screen, man, for Joel Embiid coming up for Simmons? Are we going to see from time to time where actually Simmons comes up to really screen for Joel Embiid? A weird little wrinkle of a 4 and 5 where you're not talking about someone now who is going to be a pick and pop threat with Ben Simmons. You can have that pick and pop threat when Simmons has the ball and B now steps to back behind a 3-point line, which people don't like, but it is something that is in their offense because he can make an outside shot. Is that a new wrinkle that is also going to be a part of their offense? Now, here's the other part of what Brett Brown had to say in speaking with the media and answering Keith Pompey's question.
How has he responded to that? Like a star, like just a mature, whatever it's going to take to get this team to be the best that it can be with the pieces that we have that can be, I don't know, just, you know, designed into a smooth thing, something that's not clunky. That is one of the pieces that he has to offer. And I think he's been great accepting that and really killing it in practice in the environment that I just said.
Okay, now handling it like a star. He is a star player in this league. If he is team first, why wouldn't he handle it like a star? Of course, needing the ball in his hands, his father coming out publicly many times, even during our interview when we had him on a couple of years ago, David Simmons saying that, hey, you put the ball in his hands, good things happen. When he was coming up as a kid, when he played on these teams, he told the coaches, you're best with Ben Simmons having the ball in his hands, even though he was taller, bigger than most of them, because he makes the good decisions. He is an unselfish player, sometimes to a fault. But in this case, in this new scenario, where they've had 4 months off, they've been having these ongoing weekly and daily Zoom meetings of how to make this team better. If you remember this, when Brett Brown pointed out, and I told you the conversation that he and I had on the Sixers Podcast Network, talked for about an hour. The end of the conversation, we went basketball for about 10, 15 minutes. He pointed out that he thinks during that time, they have figured something out with the losses, the issues that they had on the road, the losses as to why it did not work out. And even with the Al Horford starting at the power forward with Embiid, Simmons, Harris, and Richardson, what the issue might be. Could this be the answer that they were talking about? Ben Simmons as a star player accepting his role once again, if it's team first, why wouldn't he? It's not as if he's not going to get the ball, taking the ball off the rim, on a defensive rebound, still igniting the fast break, being a problem for the opposition. We saw it before when Tobias Harris first got here last season during the trade deadline in February. I remember it vividly. Getting the ball, Tobias Harris off the rim for a defensive rebound, starting to break himself. Simmons always looking for the ball because he wants the ball in his hands. I said this at the time. I loved that Tobias Harris waved him off and told him to run. And if you listen to Brett Brown speaking about Simmons as an option, just simply going, not thinking to look for the ball immediately, but filling that lane. You hear it all the time. He's one of the fastest guys on the floor with the ball. Why would he not be one of the fastest guys without the ball as he is filling that lane? You're going to have Tobias Harris potentially out there as well. Someone is going to shade out and fade to the 3-point line. All right. Now one thing is going to open up because the defender, if it's a 3-on-2 fast break, that guy is going to have to stop the ball, number one. The back man is going to then, while he is in the paint trying to figure out which way he's going to go, Tobias Harris is going to shade to that 3-point line. Yes, he might decide to take Ben Simmons first, but even if the ball finds Ben Simmons on Shake Milton's right, Simmons now has the option of going to the basket himself, kicking the ball out to the wing where Harris is, or even back to Shake Milton for a decision himself to do what he needs to do. I personally see, as a basketball player, like I like to call Ben Simmons, instead of a point guard, a power forward in this role right here, or anything else, I love to call him a basketball player because he has so many tools outside of the shooting right now within his arsenal to do so many different things in his bag on the floor. I've often referenced him as a Draymond Green-like player within this offense when he is playing off the ball. I love for him to not just be in a dunker's position, as Tyrone and I were talking on his way out and myself walking in here and replacing Mike, not just in the dunker's position, which I am good with, but also someone moving along the baseline as a roamer, not going to Embiid side on that strong side while you're on the weak side and you're going cutting and flashing across the middle. Show, hands up. If Embiid decides to throw it, that's one thing. If not, his man still has to make a decision on what he's going to do in defending Simmons. We've seen the video on Sixers account on Twitter that Tyrone was talking about during the show where he is catching the ball from the player development coach, floating up these little 10-footers, little teardrops. You've heard me say this before. I'm not worried about the jump shot. I'm not worried about the three-pointer. I'm more worried about when he gets into that painted area and he's able to float up a 10-footer, float up an 8-footer, a teardrop with his soft touch and make that thing happen. Now, if the ball comes to him at right there at 10, we've also seen it too many times where he decided to put the ball on the floor when he should have just shot the ball. I heard Mike say, just shoot the little thing with form and knock that little baby jumper down. I still like the jump hook. I still like the teardrop. And if he has confidence in doing that with what he's doing, plus the back thing, if the back thing is simply because he's going in there too much, taking unnecessary hits because of him not shooting a shot, it only makes sense to do these things. I love him as a roamer on the baseline, someone cutting across the middle in the painted area to catch a ball from Embiid and possibly take that little teardrop or a jump hook over either shoulder, which we know he can do, catch and make a decision for himself by going to the basket because he has someone that he can use his speed against quickly, and also to be a secondary initiator with the pass, like an hockey assist from Embiid being the first guy passing the ball. I see benefits in this. I do. The ball will still be in his hands because how can the ball not find Ben Simmons? He's an all-star in this league. He has to take this as a personal challenge. Like when they had Aaron Baines on him against the Phoenix Suns, another center, I can't remember the other game that they had a center. It might have been Bam Adebayo, even though Bam is fleet of foot. Ben Simmons should still be able to do things against a center. That's a form of disrespect. I said it at the time and I'll say it again. That's disrespectful. And you should take that as a personal challenge. And now with this being the move, if this is it, and this continues throughout the practice sessions, once the exhibition games start, and once the regular season seeding games get underway, I see benefits in this. There will be times where he is the point guard, point forward, whatever you want to call him. He will have the rock in his hands because, again, how can it not be in his hands? He is that talented. I like the move. Let's go all the way back to the draft in 2016 when he was selected. The press conference the next day, Brett Brown openly talked about him being a four. When they started their training camp, summer camp, heading to Las Vegas for the summer league, that's when he made the decision of putting the ball in his hands. So while this is new to a lot of people, no. 4 years ago, he said this already. It just changed. For whatever reason, whether it was the family, whether it was Brown making that decision himself, whatever it is, he has said this before. This is something that is a new season for the 76ers, a 2.0 of the 1920 campaign, and they can make these changes right now. They can do different things right now, and having the other teams think about something differently when the team returns. Shake Milton is a new wrinkle. A healthy Embiid, of course, is a wrinkle. And now you have a new wrinkle with Ben Simmons playing off the ball a little more. He's not just going to be in the dunker's position. That is not going to work all the time. He's going to be weak side, of course, doing things, moving off the ball, being a screen setter, still coming to Embiid's side from time to time, using him, playing off of him without the ball. Neither one of them had the ball. Using him as a screen setter, Embiid, for Simmons to get easy looks. Let's think about backdoor cuts for alley-oops as well. I like it. I think it's something that will benefit them. How much so? I don't know. But I think it's a good thing that they are going to incorporate this. And as Brett Brown is pointing out, something that the star player in Simmons has welcomed and accepted. How do you use Ben Simmons? Because I still like the Draymond Green part of this as well. You've all watched Golden State. They make deep runs. You watch the playoffs. You watch the finals. It has been a success. Draymond Green relishes in it because he accepts it for what it is. Yes, occasionally he'll take a three. Simmons does not. Is that something that may happen here as well? We will find out. But for right now, I like it. I think it will benefit them, and I think it will benefit the players around them as well. So my question to you, as we start things off tonight, 610-632-0975, do you like this, and how do you use him if this is going to be the move? 610-632-0975. There are plenty of Simmons detractors that have been calling for this for a long time. Can it work? Do you like it? And how would you use him now within this offense? 610-632-0975. He's still going to be the same defensive star that he has been throughout the season. As long as his back holds up, I don't think that's going to be a problem. I like the move. We want to know, starting off with you guys tonight, how you feel about it. 610-632-0975. I'm Devon Givens with Tyler Zuli. We are taking you up until 10 o'clock on this Monday night. Once again, welcome back from the weekend. D, we'll start with you so we can give you all your time on the other side. But as we get underway, so far, it looks like Ben Simmons will play off the ball a majority of the time in the Sixers offense. How do you like it? How would you use him? 610-632-0975. And if you think about it during the break, think about what I'm saying about what Draymond Green does as a facilitator from around the free throw extended area. Those lobs over the top to Andrew Bogut in the past, DeMarcus Cousins when he was there, Kevon Looney, Kevin Durant when he was on the low block. And I'm saying that as someone who now flashes to the top of the key and now lobs it to Joel Embiid where the double team is not there. Maybe that guy will sag off, but again, Ben is not stationary. He's now flashing to that spot. So they have to at least account for him when he does that. Now the lob is there. Also, Josh Richardson playing off of the pick that we're talking about with Joel Embiid. We've seen the lob from Draymond Green a lot to Kevin Durant, Sean Livingston, Andre Iguodala. If you have these athletes like Josh Richardson, Glenn Robinson III, even someone like Alec Burks, Matisse Thybul, expect those type of results if they do things the right way within that part of the offense. I love it. 610-632-0975. D, we start with you. Everybody else, we'll get to you when we get back. I'm Devon Givens with Tyler Zuli until 10, right here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
That's right. The Sixers official station here, 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Devon Givens with Tyler Zuli until 10, 610-632-0975. Well, looks like, based on 3 A's of practice, Ben Simmons playing off the ball a lot more. Shake Milton termed as the starting point guard for the team. A lot of people have been calling for Simmons off the ball. Well, right now, we have that. Will it continue? We don't know. But right now, that's what we have. And so far, so good, according to the coach and the all-star center in Joel Embiid. So how do you want to use Ben Simmons? And do you like this move as of right now? 610-632-0975. Let's bring D and Tom and everybody else in just one second. Let's bring in Tyler Zuli first, because he did put a poll up, Tyler did, on 97.5 The Fanatic on Twitter. Ty, what's going on, man?
What's up, Devon? Hope you had a good weekend.
I did. Thank
good.
You.
Yeah, it's good to be back with you.
Absolutely.
So tonight's poll is a pretty simple one. Should Ben Simmons be played as, and your options are, strictly a power forward, strictly a point guard, a point forward, or a positionless player? Now, we were going to put, as you like to term it, a basketball player,
yeah,
because that's what he is.
Yeah, overall.
And we decided to go with positionless just because you know how Twitter can be.
Yes. So Twitter can be, they're all basketball players.
Yeah, that's exactly what we wanted to avoid, so yeah, we went with positionless instead.
Absolutely.
Just got underway, but the early returns have almost 46% saying him as a point forward.
Point forward. Okay. And listen, I want people, what is a point forward to you? What is he offensively? Because he is a basketball player, and in my opinion, is he Scottie Pippen? Is he Draymond Green? Is he Giannis? Is he some other point forward that you guys can think of in initiating things within the offense?
So I think for me, what he becomes is a two-type player, and it depends on whether they're running the break or they're playing in the half court. When they're playing in the half court, that's where the forward part comes in, and he plays in that dunker spot, runs the pick and roll as the roller, eventually, obviously, the pick and the roll, and that would be kind of how he would play in my offense in the half court. Now, when it gets to be in the break, it's very much like you kind of dictated already, would be that he is running, for me, he runs the break with possession of the basketball and can make decisions from there. It becomes options. And we know that Brett Brown loves the term optionality and good to great and all of those Brett Brown isms, right? So for me, he controls the basketball on the break and he plays from that dunker spot in the half court.
Okay. That's how Tyler would use him. I've explained how I would use Ben Simmons. How do you want to use Ben Simmons now being off the ball? 610-632-0975. And one more thing with the break. If he is someone who is filling that lane on the right or on the left, the defense has to make a decision, because the wall cannot be built like it is oftentimes in the postseason when he has the ball in his hand. They're not going to build the wall. They might sag off. But again, if you have a 3-on-2 break, they have to make a decision. So a lot of times, yes, you will see a player flare out to the 3-point line. But then there are the other times where you're going to ask your other player on the left to not flare, but also do it like a typical fast break, 3-on-2 fast break. Two guys on the outside fill those lanes. So you also are helping Ben Simmons out. Forget about that extra point on a three. Yes, it is something that they're going to have to try to defend, but you bail them out and you kind of take him out as a weapon on that break as someone filling that lane, because they can make that decision too. Well, we'll just, you know, give up that three. It's not a big deal. Chances are he might miss. Well, if that's the case, then, you know, Ben Simmons is now defended. But if Tobias Harris is filling that lane with Ben Simmons on the right, Harris on the left, they have to shade to one of them. And if they shade to Simmons, Tobias Harris gets an easy layup or dunk. If they shade to Harris, Simmons now gets an easy layup or dunk. And the always great, pitch it right back to the man in the middle who made the pass to get an easy layup or dunk, Josh Richardson, Shake Milton. And don't forget about the trail man, right? Joel Embiid, top of the key three, trail break. Love it. Love it. 610-632-0975. And please vote. 97.5 The Fanatic, strictly a power forward, strictly a point guard, a point forward, a positionless basketball player. That's what I like to call him, because I just think he's a basketball player. And of course, a lot of that is because of the lack of shooting from anywhere outside of the painted area. I get it. But right now, until we know that he's going to do that, he's a positionless basketball player for me that still wrecks the league with his style of play. 610-632-0975. Let's start off on the cell with D tipping us off on this Monday night on The Fanatic. What's going on, D?
I don't want to argue with you, but you drive me crazy.
I know I do. You drive me crazy as well.
You drive me crazy. You sat up here and gave this long speech praising Simmons again. Don't cut me off.
You know,
he said all of these things of what Simmons could do. Simmons essentially just got benched from the point guard spot because Shake Milton can play a true pick and roll. If they roll with Embiid, he can hit that foul line shot. I want Simmons to grab everything off the board. You said he's going to make a 10-foot floater? What is that? That's a dumb hook shot that never goes in.
A floater? Hold up, D. I'm not cutting you off. A floater is not a hook shot.
You said a 10-foot
I said he can jump hook over either shoulder, or he can do, hold on, the floater that we see many players do in today's league.
Come on,
shoot the floater.
Point guard. Give me a break. He needs to hit the three. Hit the
hold on, you say he's a point guard? So you don't
see point
guards make teardrops and floaters in this game? Tony Parker has the best floater in the game.
That's all he do. But listen, right?
That's not all he does. That's what I'm asking him to do.
Let me tell you something. I'm telling you that Shake Milton is going to become a great player if they leave him at the point for the Sixers. Ben Simmons got to get his off the glass, put back, just like Draymond Green do. I agree with you with the Draymond Green analogy, but never touch the rock again, bringing it up all game. Just hand it off. Shake has a better handle and a better shot, and it helps the Sixers. He averaging what Simmons averaged now only over 9 or 10 games. He averaged what Simmons. You praise Simmons, all-star, he's this, he's that. What is Shake then? He's doing the same thing.
Shake Milton is a second-year player who I like, and I'm waiting to see what he does when he has his... Hold on. I just let you go, D. Hang on. I'm not minimizing Shake. I've said it umpteen times since they drafted him from SMU. I like him, and I want to see what he becomes. Right now, he has shown that he is someone who can have explosions out there in games to give you 39, 25 big numbers. All I said was, as you know as a basketball fan, D, that things change in the postseason. I've said I want him there. I'm not saying I don't. We're talking about Ben Simmons, though, right?
But no, we're talking about Shake Milton. He's the new starting point guard.
Did I not praise him? Did I not praise him?
You said,
why did I not praise him, D, when I simply pointed out that I said when they came back from the break, I want him starting? How is that not praising him? If I wasn't praising him, I would have said sit him back on the bench.
You just said all these questions about what.
Hold on, so D, where were you listening when I did the show saying Shake Milton need to be the starting point guard on this team with Ben Simmons? No. Answer the question. D, answer the question.
Well,
I got to put you on hold because you're not going to say anything. If we're going to have a conversation, I just asked you a question. Where were you when I did 4 hours when the season was underway, before Simmons came back and the season was then put on halt? That Shake Milton needs to be in that starting lineup with Ben Simmons. Where were you then? I was here. Tyler was here. Pat Egan was here. Where were you when I said that? So I'm talking about Ben Simmons for right now. D, we have 3.5 hours left in this show. We can praise Shake Milton. Go ahead.
Listen.
Answer my question first, please.
They get the best opportunity to win.
All right, you're not going
to
answer my question. 610-632-0975. Of course they give him a good opportunity to win. That's why he's in the starting lineup right now. We saw a sample size of it. It works. So I'm talking about Simmons off the ball, and I'm disrespecting Shake Milton? You're hearing what you want to hear because you don't like Simmons. That's okay. I asked for you to call. I let you answer your point. I mean, share your point. I answered you. You decide not to answer me, so we move on. 610-632-0975. How do you want to use Ben Simmons? By the way, a floater is a part of the game, right? A floater is a part of the game. A teardrop is part of the game. So, yes, a 10-footer, a teardrop, if he incorporates that into his offensive weaponry, will benefit him. And me saying that is saying, hey, that's a knock on you for you not doing it. Do it. Do it. It's a problem for the defense if you start knocking it down, D. Let's go to Tom next in Medford on the Fanatic. What's up, Tom?
They get the back-to-back Ben Simmons hater call here.
That's okay. I'm okay with that.
All right, I appreciate it. All right. I think he's a positionless basketball player, and he does some good things on the floor, passing, defense. But my problem with Ben, and you talk about the floater and the teardrop, is my problem with Ben is that he pulls up instead of finishing because he can't shoot free throws.
100%.
And
Tom, quickly, the one thing that I've said, Tom, quickly, is that while he's not shooting that jumper that you're talking about, I need him to knock down his free throws at a 70% clip.
Right. We're 100% the same page. I don't know how you play off the ball in the NBA and you know, play the four if you can't shoot threes and you can't and you're not making your free throws. I don't know. I think the last caller, although a little bit too energetic, had a decent point. I think Shake actually did sort of push Ben off the point guard position. I don't think this is because of Ben's doing anything great. I think it's because Shake actually outplayed him.
And I've never been one time, and here was my problem with D. I've never been one that said he had to play the point guard. You hear me? Like I said, a positionless player. I'm with you. I give him positionless player because I think he's very effective in that way as well. Everyone handles the ball, bringing the ball up the floor in today's NBA. We've seen it, right? We've seen plenty of guys that are not quote-unquote point guards bring the ball up the floor and initiate things. Donovan Mitchell does it all the time, right? CJ McCollum does it all the time. They're not technically called the point guards on their team. Joe Ingles does it for his Utah Jazz team. It happens in today's NBA. That's why I'm saying he will still do that from time to time, but I'm fine with Shake Milton. And here's the other point, Tom. I'm the one who also championed drafting Markelle Fultz because he was also going to have the ball in his hands and not Ben Simmons. So where am I not championing this move? And, of course, with Shake Milton being in the starting lineup.
I think everything fits right. One area where I disagree with a lot of people on the Ben Simmons issue is a lot of people say he needs to develop the mid-range jumper. And to me, that's the worst quantitative, you know, if you look at the stats, it's the worst shot in basketball in terms of quantity. You know, you got to make the threes or you got to make the dunks and you got to make the free throws. And people who keep saying you got to make a 12-footer, you got to make a 10-footer, that's not where the NBA is. That's not how you win anymore. Well, and he needs to make the ones short and the ones far out and the ones in the middle don't even try.
Well, here's why I disagree with that.
A higher percentage.
Here's why I disagree, because if he's not going to shoot the ones from there, he has to make himself a respectable within that offense where it's not all packed in on Embiid and maybe even Horford or Harris, whoever's on the low block. So therefore, he is someone that we already know right now, Tom, that will get you 16 points from finishing at the rim and occasionally knocking down his free throws, right? So now you might add 3 to 5 points with a mid-range jumper, opening things up a little bit more for you to do what you do best by going to the basket.
Yeah, as long, I guess if it's just about a higher percentage.
That's what I'm saying, but he has to do it first in order for it to work. So, I mean, take your pick. Do you feel more comfortable with him shooting threes or shooting that mid-range in today's game? If he is in today's game, Tom, and he is not a three-point shooter, that works for him because that's not his game in today's NBA. His game is still, as a 6'10 guy, let me knock down this mid-range jumper because I still do other things very well.
Right. But I think as long as in today's NBA, obviously being a cap league, then he can't pay a max money.
Fair enough. Well, I mean, he's already paid that max money. So
I know, that's the problem.
Well, he's already paid it. He that's what they have to do. Tom, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. I just disagree because I think that mid-range jumper, it's not lost in the game. The ones who are effective shooting threes, there are guys who are effective shooting threes, and there are guys who are effective shooting threes and getting to the basket, right? Then there are the ones who are only those one-dimensional players. So with him being this dimension of a positionless player that has the ball in his hands the majority of the time setting up the offense because of his speed and his height and all that stuff that Brett Brown has talked about in the past. Well, now to D's point, Shake Milton is going to have that ball and Ben will do other things to hopefully get you that 16 to 18, hopefully closer to 20 points, still fill the stat sheet with the rebounds and assists and give you those things by now maybe knocking down those mid-range jump shots, doing those things. You want him to be a multi-dimensional player. He's not Kevin Durant, where he is able to stand 35 feet away from the basket and drill one. He is not Kevin Durant, where he can drill one and then put the ball on the floor and go to the basket. That is not him right now, right? That is a flaw, 100%. But as Tom pointed out with the mid-range game, now he has to do something else to make it respectable for him and his team and help them out in that way. So that's why I am still on the bandwagon of shooting that mid-range jumper, knocking down that teardrop floater, still finishing at the rim, and bettering himself as a free throw shooter to benefit the ball club. 610-632-0975. What's up, Ty?
Well, and I know that the two aren't entirely similar, but I saw a shot chart the other day from Chris Middleton. And it's one of those shot charts, you know, the it's green and red, and the more green is obviously the higher percentage, and the more red it gets is the lower percentage. So when you look at the shot chart from Chris Middleton, I mean, this thing is lit up green. And it's nowhere in this shot chart.
He's a great jump shooter, so he can kill in the mid-range too.
Right. So, but no, my point is, nowhere in this shot chart does he have 100 shots in one particular area. Because he's super efficient with all of his shot selection. So I'm not looking for Ben to be shooting 20 times a game with the jumper. I'm just looking for Ben to be efficient if he does implement the jumper into his game.
Absolutely.
You know, I'd rather have 9 of 11 with 8 of those shots coming in the paint than 14 of 30. Because that's going to hinder your offense.
Yes. Yes, 100%. 610-632-0975. And the caller who called during the break, and I told you that Ty would get to you in a second. I hung up on you. That's my bad. Well, he's calling back right now. Ty, you got it. Well, he hung up again. And call back and Ty will get you up. 610-632-0975. That was my fault. Derek in West Philly. What's up, Derek?
What's going on, D? How are you?
I'm good, man.
Man, I'm loving this. And I think Ben is going to have still average almost a triple-double because he's going to be inside. That means somebody got to come out to him. Of course, they're going to respect that. That opens up for Embiid, but I think he's going to get a lot of assists to shake for open threes. You know, and I think he's going to space everything out, and Tobias is on the other side. You know, he can shoot the ball, too. I think they're going to win a tip doing this, and I think he's going to get more in-depth with that power forward. I think he should do power forward. And he's going to get more, you know, skilled at that. Now, he's not good with the back-to-back, you know, like posting somebody up.
I actually think he's better than people give him credit for. He has to get better a little bit. Well, he has to get better, but I think he's all right with those some, because he just overpowers guys that are defending him, and it's all about him. Like I always like to say, man, you know what I like to say, Derek, aggressive Ben Simmons is the best Ben Simmons. So when he gets the ball in the low block and he has somebody my size on him, just go to the cup and destroy him, man. That's it.
And I think he's going to get more adapted. I think he's going to do that more because now he's going to play power forward and he's going to be at the line more and let him be more efficient. He's getting better at the line. I think this is the best thing they can do because you can't sag off of them now. You got to hold people accountable, so Embiid going to go crazy.
And look, the Jimmy Butler experiment, I heard Ty and Mike talking about this. The Jimmy Butler experiment, it worked and then it did not work. And ultimately, Jimmy Butler decided to leave. You can talk about the front office. We can speak about the coach. But you also have to believe that Jimmy Butler within the offense, was it something that was there between Simmons and Butler that did not work that ultimately made Butler leave? That being said, this is not foreign to Ben Simmons either. When he was at LSU, he was not a point guard all the time. He played off the ball. He still got his, as you talked about, and a lot of it was taking the ball off the rim, snatching it, and going. And that is something that he has already shown to be dangerous as a player in today's league. And as he is, you know, you hope he does these other things that we ask of him, Derek. It's only going to make him and the team better.
Dude, I'm hyped. And then the guards, Josh and Satan, now here come the teardrops. They can come in the lane because guess what? They got a stick. They got to respect them, so they won't. The lane gonna be open if I'm being not in the lane. They can drive it. I mean, it's just gonna open up the floor, man. It's just going. They gonna win the trip. That's what I. And then they get the defense of him. Can you imagine his defense playing in the inside? Because he can play wing and he can go out there and play guard. Whatever's out there, he can stick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's going to be something fabulous, man.
And
I love it.
Listen, I like it too, man. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. You also look at it this way where he's a leading steal man in the NBA. He's still going to get his. All of this, of course, we hope his back holds up. He's a leading steal man in the NBA, leading the league in steals per game. Imagine those extra couple of buckets that he gets himself when he gets into the open floor and gets those uncontested layups or dunks, right? Then the free throws, if they go up, if he has that confidence, he gives you about 5 to 7 attempts a game, hopefully making 4 of 7. I can live with that, especially if he's being aggressive, going to the basket, getting those buckets like we're accustomed to seeing. I like this. I think we are, and look, D and Tom, We ask for those people who call who don't like Simmons to talk about why this will not work. And they have. I thought I had at least good points coming back at them and explaining why I still think it will work based on the things that they were talking about. If Shake Milton, to D's point, is taking Ben Simmons off the ball, D, maybe this is a good thing for not only the team, but for Simmons as well. As Brown alluded to, how has he handled it? Like a star. Now, I don't know that I've ever really heard Brown say, well, he's not handling it well and, you know, he's not happy about it and we'll figure it out and we'll go from there. Right now, it's early in the process. He's handling it like a star. And we will find out if this is something that continues and goes along. He's done it at LSU. He has done it with the Sixers. He is going to do it now. We need to see better results than what we saw against the Toronto Raptors. Hopefully we will. Now you have someone like Shake Milton, who is a better shooter, right? As D talked about, a better shooter now than Jimmy Butler. While he's not all-star like as Jimmy Butler is, he is a better shooter. So when the ball does swing out to him, he has the ability to knock down the jumper the way that we saw in his time getting consistent minutes in the lineup. One thing coming from SMU that I had no idea while I've seen him shoot, I did not know that he was able to be shoot at that clip on this level, the same way I didn't think Landry Shamet would do the same thing coming from Wichita State, would be able to knock down the jumper consistently the way that they have shown so far. Even though we've seen a better sample size from Landry Shamet, Shake Milton has at least earned the right to get this opportunity here. I like Shake, just to be clear again, D, I like Shake a lot, all the way to SMU and now with the Sixers. Thought he should have been drafted higher, but the injury that he sustained in his sophomore year kept him from being drafted in the first round. 610-632-0975, and it might benefit the 76ers. 610-632-0975. I'm Devon Givens. Ben Simmons to the, as Brett said, the four. What do you guys think about this move? Shake Milton at the point guard spot, Ben at the four. I'm Devon Givens. Ty Lazzulli with us until 10 right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.